You ready? We're set. I'm on. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your word, for your spirit. And I just pray right now that you speak perfectly through me, Lord. Thank you that every word imparts grace to the hearer. I pray that you open the hearts of us, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding, that we know and we hear your word and your truth that sets us free. I pray that every word that goes forth as life is of you, and that you leave nothing undone in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're talking about prayer tonight, and we're going to start off, break it down real simple, because it can be simple, and God uses simple things to confound the wise. Amen. Prayer is communication. Simply, prayer is communication. So we communicate every day with people around us, with our family, with our friends, with children, with professionals. And it's simply talking, it's listening. Communication goes two ways. And the most effective communicator is one who is a good listener as well. The word tells us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. So you'll find that the most effective prayers are also ones who are in tune and listening to God. It's impossible to have a healthy relationship without communication. So whenever, no matter what kind of relationship it is, whether it be with your family or with spouse or with in the professional world, if their communication isn't there, then the relationship is going to be broken, or it's going to be not what it could be. And there's all different kinds of communication. There's learning. You can learn, or you can teach, you can question somebody, you can praise somebody, good job, way to go, you can correct and rebuke and, you know, guide them in different ways. So there's all sorts of communication, but we communicate all the time, every day. It's a normal thing, and it doesn't have to be a big ordeal. You know, sometimes it's just a simple question. We don't get all, you know, shower and clothe ourselves and compose ourselves and take a deep breath and then say, honey, what's for dinner? You know, it's a simple interaction. Hey, what's for dinner? But other times there is designated time where we want to set apart quality time. Like if you want to take your spouse on a date night or take your child out one-on-one, where you do get showered and you get cleaned up and you put aside the work, you put aside the rest of the family, you put aside everything and you just sit down one-on-one. You enjoy quality time with each other and you get to know each other. You get to share your heart. You share your experiences, your thoughts, you know. And that essentially is what prayer is. It's simply communication with God, with our Father. You know, when Jesus walked on earth in his earthly ministry, he called God Father. And that was pretty crazy to the people back then, because in the Old Testament, God was God. He was the reverent, the God to fear, the God who judged because of the law of Moses, the God who was untouchable, you know. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came, he called God Father, and that kind of shook up the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But he had a relationship with his Father. He communicated with his Father. He could go to his Father and talk about anything, and he knew that he was right with his Father. And you'll hear in the epistles when Jesus called his disciples children, and when he was talking to the woman with the issue of blood, he called her daughter. Now we know that Jesus only did what he saw his Father do. He only said what he heard his Father say. So when he was calling the disciples children, when he was calling that woman daughter, those were the words of his Father in heaven. You know, God was calling these people children. He was calling that woman daughter because he desired that relationship with them. He saw them as his children. He created us in his image, and he wants to have that relationship, that father relationship with us. He wants us to be able to come to him fully, you know, knowing that we're righteous, knowing that there's no judgment, that there's no criticism, that there's nothing held back, that we are loved, we are perfect in his presence because of what he did for us. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Jesus is a perfect example of this. as he is a perfect example of everything, but he was constantly in communion with his Father. He was constantly communicating with God, constantly listening to God. And it wasn't always, he didn't shut himself away for his entire ministry and not talk to anybody. It wasn't, you know, praying without ceasing and that he's away from everything and not doing anything else. But he was constantly listening. He was constantly in tune with the Spirit of God in him, listening to what the Father had to say. Sometimes it was taking time away, you know, setting aside that quality time. When he went out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he prayed and he fasted and he spent quality time with God. And he was just, Lord, fill me, show me what's to come. Give me the truth. Give me, you know, everything I need to know. And the Father filled him. He equipped him. And he came out after defeating the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit. He had his quality time with God and he came out in power. And then there's when he goes to the mountain praying before he chose the apostles, he spent all night praying before he chose those 12 apostles. And he sought God's wisdom. He sought God. Who do you want? Who do you want for this ministry? Give me the names. And he came out and he chose those 12 apostles. Other times it was a simple question. Like when the Pharisees brought the adulterer to him and they said, what should we do with him? The law of Moses says stone her. And Jesus just stopped. And he was listening to the Father. And he heard what God said. And he spoke the word, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And that perfect word, that perfect wisdom that God gave him did the work. The word accomplished what it was sent to do. So Jesus was constantly listening, constantly communicating with God. Now, prayer is more for us than it is for God. And hear me out. God doesn't force us. He doesn't require us. He doesn't get mad if we don't pray. And even if we don't pray, we're still righteous. We're still right with him. He still loves us. We're still his children. You know, parents don't really need their children to talk to them for their sake. They were doing fine before their children came along. That, you know, tying their children's shoes or teaching them why the wheels on the bus go round and round doesn't really do anything for the parents in that time and space right there. But when a child comes to their parent, their father or mother, and asks for help or asks for wisdom or asks for teach me this or give me this, the parent is blessed and happy and wants to provide for that child. They want to pour out everything they have on that child. So and children ask for everything. They, you know, feed me, clothe me, I need to go to the potty, carry me. But the more you teach, the more you invest, the more you sow into that child, the greater harvest there will be, the more capable they will become to do things on their own. And eventually they become capable of assignments, of, you know, cleaning the dishes or washing their siblings or driving out for groceries. And so God is much the same in that he doesn't need us to pray for his sake. He already knows everything about us. You know, he created us. He knows what we're going to pray before we pray it. But God cannot and he will not violate his word. So he won't force himself on us. If we don't ask him something, if we don't pray it, he won't do it. He can't do it by his word. You probably heard, you may have said, I used to say stuff like, the Lord is teaching me patience through this trial. You know, if it's a bad relationship or sickness or this or that. But that is a lie because God does not use the world system. He does not use trials of the world to teach you things. He can and he will turn what was meant for evil to good. But the way God works is through his word, through his system. He teaches by the word. He teaches by the Holy Spirit. He teaches by revelation. So when you come to ask him something, he's not going to throw all the bad stuff at you and say, here, learn this. He teaches you from the inside out, from revelation within, and you get filled with joy. You get filled with power when you learn that, when he teaches you that. And so instead of, you know, just learning by experience and trying to go through the school of hard knocks, all you have to say is pray, you know, pray to God, Lord, teach me patience, and he'll do it. He'll in a short amount of time, you learn more patience through revelation and through his word or through people around you teaching you. that God puts in your way than you would learn in a million years in the world through trials and whatnot. And he wants to teach you. He wants to, because he loves you. He's your father. And he wants to equip you so that you can live the best life in this world. He wants to help you bring heaven to earth, help you to bring his will to this planet through you by his grace. So God needs us to pray so that he has the permission to move in our life and pour into us. He needs us to pray so that he can teach us and equip us and provide us so that we can take those assignments like a little child when they're getting older and they start taking on more responsibility. You can give them assignments. You can have them do certain chores and whatnot. God's the same way with us. When he takes us under his wing, when we give him the permission and for him to do his will in our life, then he can give us assignments and he can give us responsibility to accomplish his will in this earth. You know, sometimes parents intervene and teach children something they don't really care to learn or they didn't ask for, but God will not and he cannot do that by his own word. He won't force himself on us. He won't violate our own free will that he gave us, that he fights for. So if we don't pray it, he won't do it. He can't do it. 3 John 1:2 tells us that, "Beloved, I desire above all things that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers." God desires great things for us. He has great plans for us to prosper us, not to harm us, but he can't move in this earth. He can't move in our life until we pray it. No matter how badly he desires it, no matter how badly he wants it, he can't do anything until we give him that permission, until we pray it. You know, we prayed to receive Jesus and receive salvation, and then God moved. Even though he so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, Jesus died for the entire world, it wasn't until we prayed and asked God to save us that we received that, to give God permission to move in our life. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. We prayed to receive the Holy Spirit. We gave God that permission to pour the Holy Spirit into us, and then God moves. So, speaking of the Holy Spirit, who can tell me what is the job of the Holy Spirit?
A lot.
A lot. All true, yes. Let's open the first... Yeah, it's true. And he does that by opening to 1 Corinthians 2:12. Which reads, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So... the job, one of, if not the job, of the Holy Spirit is to show us all the things that God has freely given us. All the things that Jesus died for. All the things that God purposed for us when he created the heavens and the earth. So what has been freely given to us? If we look at the Epistle of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So through Jesus, every single thing was made. Everything we see, everything we know was made through the Word, through Jesus. And we know John 3:16, everybody knows, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So would it be safe to assume if God gave us Jesus, then God gave us everything that was made through Jesus? Is that a safe assessment? The answer is no, it's never safe to assume. But to check everything with the Word of God. So let's see what the Word says about that. Lindsay, can you look up Romans 8:32? And Mama, can you look up 2 Peter 1:3? And George, could I ask you to look up 1 Corinthians 3:21 and 22? So with Jesus, God says he freely gives us all things. And everybody knows in the Greek, all means all. So he gave us all things. 2 Peter 1:3. Amen. Praise the Lord for the Amplified. Given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And George, what, 1 Corinthians?
Therefore, let no one go to men. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, in the world, or life, or time, or through present, or things, all are yours.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:21-22. And that just hit me in the face the other day when I was reading that. You know, you're reading, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. It sounds like you're talking about God. You know, all things are yours. But he's saying all things are ours. All things are yours. God has given us freely, by his grace, all things. Everyone say, all things are mine. All things are mine now. That's what God purposed for us. He created the heavens and the earth, and he gave it to us. It was a free gift. He gave us the earth as a gift to reign over, to rule and reign. So we have our kingdom to reign because he knows what it's like. He created us in his image, and he wanted us to enjoy what he has, what he purposed for us. He gave us everything. God's heart is for his children. It's not anything else in the world. All the rest of the world was purposed for us to enjoy. He loves his children more than anything. He loves you more than anything. He has given you everything. You are the apple of his eye. You know, Jesus died so that we could be reconciled to the Father, so that we could inherit everything that God has given us freely because he loves us, simply because he loves us. Because we are his children, we are his family. And he's given us the written word to show us this. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to reveal all the things freely given to us in the word. So the Holy Spirit points to the word, points to whatever we need in that time that has been freely given us to answer that need. So if, you know, the world's condemning you, the Holy Spirit says, you are righteous. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God. If you need help, the Holy Spirit will lead you to God and say, you can go boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in time of need. There's no time that you can't go to God. There's nothing that you can't get from God because he has already given you all things freely. The Holy Spirit will tell you, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Why shall you not want? Because you already have everything. You have been given everything freely. You are already full. You are already rich right now. 1 Corinthians 4:8. You're already full. You're already rich. He's given you everything because he loves you. So where is the disconnect? Why does it seem like we don't have everything? James 4:3 tells us that you have not because you ask not. See, it's kind of like, you know, a heavenly bank account. I'm a $1 million giver. I'm a millionaire giver. I give John a check for $1 million. He deposits it in his bank account, and he has $1 million. He is a millionaire. So he can go around the world bragging, saying, I'm a millionaire. I have $1 million, and that would be the truth. But that's only bragging rights. As long as that money is in the account, it's not working for him. It's not doing him any good. You know, when you have a little baby and the baby is hungry and he can't communicate and he gets frustrated, the parents are right there. The parents want to pour everything out on him, wants to give him everything they need, but the baby can't tell you that he's hungry because he can't speak. So he just goes on being frustrated. And that's unfortunately how a lot of Christians have lived. You know, they have all these promises. They've been given everything. They have everything in their heavenly bank account, and all they need to do is ask for it. All they need to do is acknowledge that it's theirs. So how do we withdraw from that account? 2 John 5:14 tells us that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, we have the petitions. We have what we ask. So all you do is ask according to his will. And what is his will? His word. And the Holy Spirit shows us and leads us and guides us in his word. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes the eyes of our understanding to see what we need. If we have a certain need, if we're in, we have a problem, you can ask the Holy Spirit, what should I say? What? Give me a word for this. Give me the solution for this. And he'll lead you. He'll tell you what to say out loud, or he'll lead you into the word to appropriate your faith and say, Father, you said this. This is your word. This is your promise. So I receive this in the name of Jesus. This is mine because it's already been given to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything to get it. You just rest knowing that it is yours. The Father said it. It is a done deal. John 16:24 is Jesus talking, and he's saying to them, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It says, you have asked nothing in my name. And when we pray or when we do things, we do it in the name of Jesus. You know, we say, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And that's good. We're an advocate of God on earth. We come in the name of Jesus. We represent God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When I was reading this the other night, the Lord opened my eyes to, and it just confirms what we just talked about, but until you have asked nothing in my name. His name is Jesus. And in John, in the beginning of John, it said, in the beginning was the Word. Before Jesus was called Jesus, he was the Word. So if you ask anything in my word, in the written word, in the Bible, that is according to his will, you will receive it. Ask and you will receive. And it's really simple. You know, people try to make a big deal of prayer, try to make it more complicated than it is, but God is simple. He's practical. He's our Father. He told us what he gave to us. He wants us to have it. All we have to do is bring it to his remembrance, say it, and receive it. Thank you, Father, that I have this in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 15, Psalm 34, 1 Peter 3 all tells us that God hears prayers of the righteous. We are all righteous. We are the children of God. We are righteous. We have been given the gift of righteousness freely. And there's thousands of promises in the Bible. There's nothing that is uncovered. You know, so any problem you face, anything you face in the world, God has a promise for it. God has something that he has freely given that will solve that problem. So if you, the righteous child of God, come to the Father and ask something that he promised, you show him his word and he promised, it's done. God hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears you when you ask according to his will. It is done. You have it now. And there's nothing, there's no power in this universe that can stop that prayer from being answered. So be as a child. Children ask for everything. You know how needy children are, and that's okay. They're children. We should be the same exact way with our Father because he has already given it to us. He desires us to have it, and he's happy to pour out his kingdom on us. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So, you know, if you're not praying as much as you want to be praying, don't feel condemned for not praying. Just ask God, Lord, calls me to pray more. Give me a desire to pray more. That's his desire for you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to pour into you. He wants to give you everything. And he wants you to receive everything. So all you have to do is ask. Don't take anything for granted. You can ask him the smallest things and he'll do it. A lot of times, like if Lindsay and I get in a fight, I'll ask him to cause me not to remember the bad things. You know, he doesn't remember our sin anymore, so he can cause us not to remember our sin or our mistakes or our failures or fights or this or that. Cause me to speak perfectly, Lord. James 3 tells us that a man who does not stumble in speech is perfect. And our words, our speech completely direct their life. The way you speak, what you speak is what you'll have. So if you're speaking bad, fear, you know, judgment, anxiety, that's what you're going to have. So ask the Lord to perfect your speech. Lord, cause me to get in the word more. Cause me to desire your word more. Don't feel like you have to do this alone. Don't go at it alone. God says that, or the word says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's not because he's mad at us or because he's angry at us. It's just because he will not violate his word. He will not violate his free will. So if we don't ask, that's essentially pride. That's saying that we can do it on our own. We don't need you, God. But if we ask, if we humble ourselves and say, Father, cause me to be in your word. Cause me to love you more. Cause me to understand your love. Cause me to do this and that. He will do it. You know, he causes you to walk in his ways. He gives you a new heart. He gives you the spirit. He is everything in you, and he wants to do this for you. Lord, cause me to have a greater revelation of your love, which will just change everything in your life. You get a revelation of his love, and it's powerful. One I love to ask is, Lord, increase my faith. And understand that when you ask God something, he has a certain way of doing things. He has an order. He has a system. He has something according to his word. So if you ask God, Lord, increase my faith, he's going to do it according to his word. And we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So it's not like, Lord, increase my faith, boom, you have great faith. It's, Lord, increase my faith, he's going to open your eyes to revelation. He's going to put people around you to teach you and lead you into revelation. He's going to have you listen and hear people. And with that revelation, with that word, your faith increases and you're able to see more of God, get more revelation, receive more from God. And that's his desire. That's his will for you. So back to John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. When you get an answer from God, your joy is full. And it's not necessarily because you received healing or because you received a new car or because you received money or a house or a fixed relationship. While all those things are great and that's what God wants for you, the fact that God Almighty, he created the heavens and the earth. He's everything. He is in everything. He is the purpose for everything. All powerful, all knowing, all perfect. He heard your prayer. He loves you. He desires for you to have what you have, and he provided it for you. And that's just, every time I get an answer to prayer, it's like, wow. And every time I get it, I say, God loves me so much. You know, God loves me so much. And the more I say that, the more I become aware of that. The more I become aware of that, the more I see that in my life. And walking in that fullness of his love is the most powerful thing in the world. You know, John the disciple said, the apostle said that I'm, you know, John, the disciple who Jesus loved. He was aware of God's love, of Jesus' love for him. It wasn't anything, Jesus didn't love him more than anyone else, but he was perfectly aware of his love. He was there when Jesus died. He received so much of God's, you know, blessing and provision and free gifts in his life. So last thing, perfect prayer. We pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. You can't do it enough. Romans 8:26-27 says, the Spirit searches the deep things of God and makes intercession for the saints according to his will. And we talked about, and we know that if we pray the will of God, he hears us and we have what we say. So the Spirit prays perfectly for us. You think about that hungry baby who's frustrated, he can't communicate, and he's hungry. The Holy Spirit is essentially like giving voice to that baby, saying, Mommy, I want sirloin steak, medium rare with mashed potatoes. And then mom knows exactly what that baby needs, and she can provide for that baby. The Holy Spirit speaks perfectly to God, even when we don't know what we need or we don't know how to ask. He does everything, and it's done perfectly. Jude 1:20 tells us that building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues edifies the spirit. It builds up the spirit. It builds up our faith so that we can receive more from God. And, you know, living in the world with media, with all the things around us, there's so much lies that builds up the flesh, builds up works, builds up sin, builds up all this. So to build up the spirit is really important, and it's crucial to be in communion with God, because the more your spirit is built up and dominating over your flesh, the more you can hear clearly from God, the more you can receive from him, and it empowers you to live a life that's just easier. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God desires an easy life for you. You know, there's going to be trials and hardships for the word's sake, but his ways are easy. His ways are, he causes you to walk in his ways, and he is your strength. He is your refuge. You don't have to fight. You just rest in him. Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He also said, I labored more than all of you, not I, but the grace of God with me. And he had the greatest revelation. He wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. He's responsible for millions and millions and millions of people coming to Christ. That is not a coincidence that he spoke in tongues more than everybody else. You know, the more you pray in tongues, the more miracles you will see in your life, the more grace you will see, the more clearly you will hear God, the more power, the more revelation, and you will see God's will be done in your life right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. And I pray that you just cause us to understand you, cause us to have more revelation, cause us to pray more, to seek you more. Give us that desire. We thank you that your will is perfect and that you have given us all things freely. And we rest in you and your finished work, in your gifts and your grace. In the name of Jesus, amen.